Let me pause here and see if you have any comments or questions.
I have a question.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if it was in our handout, but it's in the meditation that we do.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, it's in there, it's in our long room. When you talk about, we do this meditation on attachment, and you discriminate it from having positive aspirations.
Mm-hmm.
But we get so confused about that. It's so hard to separate those two. So I've been thinking about that just a little bit and thinking, like, it seems like the experience itself should have a qualitative difference. But maybe that we're just so confused about what brings happiness and what brings suffering that we don't even discern it there. I mean, what then in the reading it said that this is based on, our attachment is based on wrong conception.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what I was thinking about this morning in meditation. Yeah, it's because I'm thinking wrong. I'm thinking these things are going to bring happiness. But then we have these other things we're going to do that actually are going to bring us happiness. But we can't separate them out at all. So even in the experience of the moment, would a person actually even be able to discern that? You know, it seems like if you were, like, when you're madly in love with somebody, it has this experience, but even in that moment, you should see the suffering if you had a certain level of understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Is that accurate, or is it possible? It
seems like there's a few questions here. So one is the question about the difference in terms of experience between having a positive aspiration and having clinging attachment.
Yeah, the experience of these.
Of these, okay. And then the second question was, it would seem that, you know, when you're madly in love with somebody, that it should be possible to have that mind that sees through that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Okay, let's start with the second one. Yeah? Okay, when you're madly in love with somebody and there's this kind of giddiness, to me, I know for myself, whenever I feel that kind of giddiness, that's a sign that there's attachment. Okay, you know the kind of giddiness that I'm talking about? You know? Okay, it's a sign of attachment. And so I know that for my own mental health, what I need to do at that point is to remember that this thing is not going to make me happy. Okay, and then I say, okay, if I get it, it's very good, and if I get it, then I offer, you know, mentally I offer to the Buddha, Dharma, Sangha, and I'm not going to think that this thing is going to be the be-all and end-all, because, you know, it has its own set of problems that it's going to bring.
And that remembering it is the kind of mindfulness.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's the problem that we don't have, maybe.
That's right, and that's why we're stuck in cyclic existence. Okay. When the Buddha talked, you know, about the second noble truth, the origin of our dukkha, our unsatisfactory conditions, although ignorance is the root of cyclic existence, the Buddha pinpointed craving as the main culprit. Okay, why? Because it's that craving that makes us. Craving makes the world go round. Yeah? Because we're craving, 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 craving. When the craving is strong, you're absolutely right. We don't even question that mind. We're so convinced it's going to make us happy. Okay? Because we're really like junkies for that emotional experience of that buzz that we get when we're initially happy. Okay, that certain kind of mental, physical experience, you know, we're junkies for it. And so anything that looks like it's going to give us that, we go for. And then, you know, we fall flat on our face, but never mind. You know, pick ourselves up and go look for something else to get a hit from. Okay, so what we're trying to do in Buddhist practice is when we have that feeling, it's a very interesting mindfulness practice. When you have that, you know, surge of, you know, like happiness is coming, sit down and pay attention just to that feeling. Observe that feeling of happiness. Okay? Just observe it with part of your mind. This is part of the practice of mindfulness of feelings. Just step back and observe that feeling of happiness. What does it feel like? How does it arise? What does it do when it's there? How does it end? What happens after it ends? So just investigate and watch. And then I also ask myself when I have that kind of, you know, it's like, why do I call this happiness? Yeah, it's a very interesting question. I'm feeling this thing that I'm such a junkie for. But then why do I call this a happy feeling? What about it is happy? It's very interesting when you start to watch. Very interesting. Okay? So when we start being aware of that experience and everything around it, then, you know, we see it for what it is. We don't get so caught up in it. Yeah, we let it be. We can we experience it when it's there, but when it goes away, we're not all broken up. Yeah, because we're not counting on it to last forever and, you know, be everything for us. Okay, and then of course we remind ourselves about, you know, the nature of whatever it is that seems to be bringing that experience, that it's not permanent. Yeah. We don't count on it to always be there. It's impermanent. Okay. Now, in terms of what's the difference between attachment and a useful kind of desire or a noble aspiration? Okay. First I have to explain the word desire is a little bit tricky because it can mean two different things. Okay? Well, actually, desire means many things in English. Okay, we can talk about sexual desire, that's one kind of desire, you know, or a desire for sense pleasure, you know, you want jewelry and sports equipment and whatever. Okay, but there's also, we can also use desire in a positive way. You know, I desire to calm my mind down, and I desire to free my mind from attachment. Okay, so in the second instance, desire means more something like a positive aspiration. So what's the difference between attachment and a positive aspiration? Between the negative kind of desire and the useful kind of desire? Attachment is based on exaggeration. Okay? And see, that's one of the things that we have to investigate in our own lives and really see how our attachment is based on exaggeration, because we don't always believe it when we're in the middle of it. We say, I'm not exaggerating here. There's no exaggeration. This person really is that fantastically wonderful, and this, you know, holiday in the Caribbean is really going to be, you know, the be-all and end-all. Yeah. Okay. We often don't notice the exaggeration until, of course, afterwards. So this is why it's useful to reflect on our life and on previous times, you know, and really learn to look through it and see the previous times where we were befuddled by how things appeared and didn't realize the exaggerated appearance, and then carry that over to the future when we encounter things that are similar and remember, oh, this could be another exaggerated experience. In fact, it probably is, yeah. So attachment is based on exaggeration. A positive aspiration is not based on exaggeration. Okay? When you aspire to develop equal-hearted love and compassion for everybody, that's something that is possible to do. It's something that's beneficial. Okay? So it's not exaggerated. If you think you're going to do it tomorrow, that's exaggerated. Okay? And so that's why you see people who, oh, I met Marla, you know, I'm going to be Buddha by next Tuesday. Yeah, and then they're, you know, very unhappy afterwards. They didn't really understand what the path was about. But if you have a positive aspiration in your life, now, that's really useful, and it's good, and it's realistic, and it's going to bring good results for yourself, and it's going to be good results for other people. And the kind of happiness that you get from having a positive aspiration like that is a different qualitative kind of happiness. You're not going to get this, you know, happiness. It's a different kind of happiness, isn't it? Okay? Like when you do something that in your heart you know you should do, but it's hard to do it, when you do it, isn't there a certain kind of satisfaction and happiness that come? Yeah? Is that kind of satisfaction anything like the happiness you get from sense pleasures? Completely different, isn't it? Qualitatively, it's very different. Because actually, the happiness from sense pleasure, there's a certain amount of agitation in it. If you look, you know, it's not peaceful and calm, it's agitated. And it's wanting, you know, I want more, I want better, I want more, I want better. Yeah. Whereas when we have a positive aspiration, even we haven't fulfilled that aspiration, even we just have it, you know, and it's a steady thing in our lives, that if you aspire to practice Dharma and transform your mind and develop compassion, and that's your long-term goal, and, you know, that's your kind of an important thing you remember each day that you're trying to do, even if you haven't actualized it completely, just having that aspiration brings a certain kind of peace in the mind. Yeah? It does, doesn't it? It brings some kind of steadiness in the mind that, experientially, that attachment does not bring. Yeah? Attachment does not bring steadiness. In fact, if we look, I don't know about you, but in my life, some of the stupidest decisions I've ever made were made under the influence of attachment. The next set of stupid decisions were made under the influence of anger. Actually, the two are very related. But, you know, it's easier to see the angry ones. But sometimes think about when you had very strong attachment and the decisions you made about what to do. Yeah, under the influence of that attachment, where those decisions guide you. So then we can see why attachment is a bit of a liar. Mm-hmm. Just a little bit. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that was a long answer to your question.